Attention, from the True Dharma Eye, Case 169, Maha Kashyapa and the Flagpole. Main case. The second ancestor, Ananda, asked Maha Kashyapa, "Senior brother, beside the golden brocade robe you have you received anything else?" Maha Kashyapa called out, "Ananda!" Ananda responded, "Yes, master." Maha Kashyapa said, "Take down the flagpole in the front of the monastery gate." Ananda had a great awakening. We know these two. As the koan itself says, Ananda is the second ancestor. That is, the second one to receive transmission from the Buddha. Maha Kashyapa was the first successor to the Buddha, the one who responded to the Buddha when he raised a flower on Mount Kudukutra. Maha Kashyapa smiled. Nobody else got it. Ananda stayed with the Buddha as his attendant for 25 years. But he himself did not come to awakening. But Ananda was not deterred. His patience was incredible. He continued to practice and train, year in, year out. He practiced and he trained. He stayed on as Maha Kashyapa's attendant for 20 more years. Before he realized himself. It is on the occasion of this koan that Maha Kashyapa and Ananda come together, and Ananda finally realizes himself. He had been studying and practicing for over 45 years at this point. Ananda is my hero and my inspiration. He is an inspiration to all of us. As this koan opens, Ananda is not yet realized and asks his senior brother a most provocative question. He wants to know if Maha Kashyapa received anything else on the occasion of his realization and the transmission of the Dharma from the Buddha besides the symbolic golden robe. He seems to think that there is something. Something very special. He doesn't know what it is. A key? A code? A map? A lens? A secret formula? Something. The question here and now is, what is it for us? What is it that we are seeking? Why have we come to this Dharma hall, to this session? Nowadays, people look for answers in exotic places, designer drugs, magic herbal concoctions, the perfect partner, some combination of wealth and power. But Ananda was not looking for that kind of transparent happiness. He was looking for something essential, transformative, the supreme treasure of the Dharma, that Mahakashyapa seemed to have now, and he, Ananda, did not. Ananda wanted to know what this is. How can it be accessed? We want to know. Daido Shi's note on this line says, when doubt is born, can truth be far behind? So this is how it begins and how it ends, with a question. The burning question. The all-consuming question. If we've got one of those, we are close, close, close to the answer. Do we have a question like this? Do we want to know what reality is? What life is? Why are we born? Why do we suffer and die? Ananda was deep into it. He had been practicing for a long time, but this wisdom still eluded him. He had seen it in the Buddha, and he saw it in Mahakashyapa, but he had not yet seen it in himself. After all those years and all that dedicated practice, Ananda was still covered in his confusion. But he was not giving up. 45 years into it, and he was not giving up. He stayed with it and continued to make his best effort every day. That is faith. He did not really know, but he trusted in the Dharma he had tasted, the teachings he had received, and the sublime living examples of his teachers. That's where many of us are. We feel something. We long for something. We don't know what it really is, but we feel pulled towards some truth, some light, some love. We don't know why, but we trust that it is there or here, and that we can find it. That is faith. Mahakashyapa saw Ananda struggling with his questions, and he knew that he was ripe, finally. Teachers seem to have a special sense about that. They can tell when somebody is close, when they're ripe, when they're on the edge. They know when the conditions are right and it's time to poke and prod and shout and ask the perfect question. Mahakashyapa knows that he has nothing to give Ananda, that he did not receive anything from the Buddha that he could give him. Nevertheless, he wants Ananda to realize himself. So he skillfully calls out his name. Ananda! Daido Shi says, direct and penetrating. Ananda. Direct and penetrating. Dadoshi says, thank you for your teaching. Ananda hears his name, but he does not know who is being called. Who is being called? The koan says Mahakashyapa calls out. He doesn't just say Ananda. He says Ananda. Why is he calling out like that? Ananda is right there. There is a reason for this. But Ananda doesn't see it. The commentary says, we should understand that although he calls out like this, he is not calling Ananda. Nor is the response an answer to his call. He is not calling Ananda? Really? Who can he be calling? Ananda is the only one there. Ananda hears him clearly and replies immediately. This is his teacher, his master calling him by name, Ananda. And he says, yes, master. Dido says that this response is not an answer to the call. So Mahakashyapa is not calling Ananda. And Ananda's response is not answering the call. Really? Ananda is nothing if not the dutiful servant. This is who he is. He bows and serves. He brings the tea. He takes care of the guests. He carries messages. He helps his teacher with anything he needs. He bows and serves. He's quite beautiful in this way. He does seem to be responding appropriately to this call. Yes, master. But Dadoshi says that yes, master, does not reach it. Why not? In many ways, we envy, in many ways that we envy, Ananda was not a slow student. I think he knew everybody's name, all the liturgy, every one of the monastic rules. He reputedly had a prodigious memory. Everyone, including us, depended on him to remember and to repeat and to recite what the Buddha had taught. His was an oral tradition, and it was carried forward by him for all of us. It wasn't written down until much later. So Ananda hears the call, like all the other calls from his teachers, and responds with a dutiful, yes, master, I am here and at your service. But this call is calling for another response. Ananda doesn't get it yet. The commentary says, although the message is sent, it does not reach home. About this calling out of Ananda, Dido's note says, direct and penetrating, the valley does not know its echo. But Ananda is there. He is intimate with his teacher, like a valley being so close to its echo that there is no separation. Valley and echo are one. Yes, Master. Teacher and student are one body. This shows us that Ananda is completely there. He's not a beginner. He knows how to come in close like this. Intimacy. But there's still something essential that Ananda does not see. Mahakashyapa pushes him into it. He says, take down the flagpole in front of the monastery gate. What is this flagpole? Well, in practical terms, I think it was a signal to the monks and to the surrounding community that a Dharma discourse or taisho would be offered. They didn't have the internet or newspapers back then, so I think this is how the way that people were notified. They knew to check if the flag was up or down and to come hear the teachings. That might be the way the flagpole was used, but in this koan, it is much more significant than that. Although it may have been one of Ananda's many duties to put up the flag and notify the community and to take it down when the discourse was over, this time, something seems to be different. Ananda has just asked a question about the Supreme Dharma. And Mahakashyapa tells him to do what he has always done, to take down the flagpole. He has been redirected to himself and the activities of his own body and his own mind. He has been sent to take down the flagpole. I have a flagpole that I erected a long time ago and carry around with me everywhere. It has a black flag that says Rakusan. This is me. This is the person I am, or I think I am, and sometimes more importantly, the person I want others to think I am. I've worked hard on that flag. I think you know who I mean. I hope you like it. Do you have a flagpole and a flag? Some of us carry some really classy flags around. Some have artist flags, athlete flags, carpenter flags, big bad motorcycle guy flags, mysterious dark lady flags, silent strong type flags, victim flags, supremely competent flags, revolutionary flags, American flags, exotic Tibetan flags. It's like the United Nations out there. Everybody has their own special flag or flags, as the case might be. But what do you do when your teacher tells you to take your flag down? What do you do when your teacher redirects you to enter this activity, this self of your own making, and take it down? But this is speaking in a very general way. The flags we hoist are a little less conspicuous than that. We really don't want anyone to particularly notice we are flying a flag. We're just cool being who we are, doing what we do. But there does seem to be a subtle thread of self-concern that we weave into a banner of some kind, and it shows up on a pole sticking up from the back of our heads. We think we can't help it. It's just who we are. We ourselves may not even be aware that it's there. But those who have eyes can see it. Mahakashyapa says, take down the flagpole in front of the monastery gate. And Ananda has a great realization. How does that happen? Daidoshi's note says, the whole universe has been taken down. What a pity. It's not really a pity. Ananda is really much better off without that universe. The commentary says, at that moment, the Buddha's robe enters Ananda's skull. Not only is the flagpole taken down, but so is Mahakashyapa, as well as the mountains, rivers, and the great earth itself. That's a lot. At some point later that day, Ananda probably does take the flagpole down and put it in the barn, like he always does. But the teisho, the expression of the enlightened point of view, is not over. It's just beginning for this monk. There's a verse about this case, and I have requested that Kaiku read it.
Dragon sons and daughters are always born of a dragon. But how can it be explained? The rains have passed, and the autumn river runs deep and fast. Dragon sons and daughters are always born of dragon parents. But how can it be explained? The rains have passed, and the autumn river runs deep and fast. Inexhaustible lions roar!
How will you use the shipping?
Freely, giving life and taking it away. This is a 3-foot-long brown snake. A long time ago, it had become a kampor flower on Mount Gudakutra. On Mount Sharon, it had become a plum blossom. Sometimes it transforms into a dragon and swallows heaven and earth. Sometimes it transforms into a diamond sword with freedom to kill and to give life. Right now, in accord with the order of my teacher, it lies in my hands. I feel like a mosquito trying to bite an iron bull. However, being assigned chief disciple, I must fulfill my duties. Now, you dragons and elephants in this Dharma hall, challenge me in Dharma encounter. Kaiku, you go first.
Attention!
Yes.
I think we have the same hero. We have this hero in common.
How wonderful.
Ananda.
How wonderful.
Asking the question is often difficult.
Yes.
Not that I don't know somewhere the question, but to formulate it is more difficult. I know I have to trust my teacher, first of all. But will you help me on my way?
This is a good question. A question about a question. Yeah. Where does that come from? What is it that you want to know?
I know and I don't know.
Ah,
if wonderful. I knew, will I ask?
Yeah, asking is good. May your life go well.
Thank you for your teaching.
Attention. I, on my flagpole, had this big flag that I didn't show too many people, and this week it got shredded. And I don't have the heart to take it down. And I don't know how to proceed. Can you advise me?
What do you mean by having it shredded?
I didn't realize that how much of my practice I was actually cultivating this instead of letting it go. And so I've been coming here all this time and subtly cultivating a sense of self instead of letting it go. And that was just poked through. And I'm looking at this tattered flag, and I just, you know, the wind came out, but I'm still here, and I'll still be coming back, because they're underneath that, the wind that blew through it is, I guess, the wind that brought me here. But how do I don't know the next step.
Look at the top of the flagpole. What's there?
I don't think I can see through the rags that are flapping in the breeze yet.
Yeah. Take the flagpole down. May your life go well.
Attention, Shuso. It said that Shakyamuni Buddha realized perfect unexcelled enlightenment. And then it says that Ananda, his attendant, wasn't realized until 20, 25 years later, as you said in your talk. So then why is it that the Buddha wouldn't allow women into the Sangha, and only by Ananda really persisting and sort of insisting that they be included did it happen?
Ananda had the good fortune to see into this question and to help the Buddha to see into this question. We need to see into this question.
So are you saying that becoming in perfectly unexcelled enlightened doesn't mean that you get to see into everything?
Right. You don't know what's behind the house. You know, you don't know what's behind a closed door, right? I mean, you live in an ordinary world, supremely ordinary. May your life go well.
Thank you for your answer.
Attention. We've been given this human life. We've been given the opportunity to practice the Dharma. You've taken up these robes of liberation. How do you receive something that cannot be given?
You have to see where it's coming from. You have to look for it deep in yourself.
Thank you.
May your life go well.
Listen, a flagpole.
I didn't hear you, Polly. What'd you say?
A flagpole.
Yes.
At its foundation, deeply rooted in the earth.
Oh. Yeah?
The heat of its rising, the smooth liquidity of its surface, a flag offered to the wind.
Yeah.
How could you?
On a day like today, I watched the wind blow through the trees. May your life go well.
Attention. Shuso.
I don't see you. There you are.
What do you do if the flag that you fly is not yours, but one that you've stolen from someone else?
You've borrowed a flag?
I've borrowed many flags from other people, but I've never been able to find my own.
Do you want one of your own? What will you do with it?
I would hope to fly it for at least a little while.
May your life go well.
Thank you for your teaching.
Attention. My understanding from your words.
Raise your hand, please.
Is that Ananda is an intermediary. He passes in and out of the gate of the monastery. I see the gold brocade robe and the flagpole as both being objects in the world of 10,000 things, and yet something more. Can you speak to this?
What is it that goes in and comes out?
Our awareness.
Does it have a robe? Does it carry a flag?
I don't know. It seems that sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't. Yet it must be raised.
Look closely, very closely. May your life go well.
Thank you.
Attention. I really want to take down my flagpole, but I'm also really scared what's going to happen when it's gone. What's left when the flagpole is taken down?
You'll have to find out. I can't tell you. May your life go well.
Attention, Shuso. My heart feels so full today, and I'm so moved by all the love and support that has come today for you that I feel like I don't really have a question. Can you help me?
I have the same problem. I am so full, so grateful. May your life go well.
Thank you.
Attention.
Yes.
Mahakashapa calls out. Ananda answers. You say Ananda misses it, or Adyoshi's commentary says he misses it. How would you answer if Mahakashapa calls out, Raksa?
Well, I'd have to go and take the flagpole down, wouldn't I? There's taking the flagpole down, and there's taking the flagpole down. You need to know the difference.
Thank you for your answer.
May your life go well.
Attention. How do I know when I'm taking the flag down and just moving it a little, adjusting it, moving it higher?
Who wants to know?
I don't know.
Look, and you will find out.
Thank you for your answer.
May your life go well.
Attention. The Buddha twirled an Uttambara flower, and Mahakashyapa smiled. And Mahakashyapa called out to Ananda. And the question in the koan leads us to ask about what the teacher is giving the student. At that moment. But at that moment of realization, is there also something the student is giving the teacher?
Originally, the teacher does not give the student anything. Originally, the student doesn't give the teacher anything. The Dharma is complete. May your life go well.
Thank you for your answer.
Attention, Shuso. The flagpole came down, and then they put the flagpole back up again. What was that flagpole like?
Say what?
What was that flagpole like?
The one you put back up?
Yeah.
How did you put it up?
It just went straight up.
Did you use both hands?
I didn't do it.
You didn't do it?
It was my conditioning.
Ah, I see. It's a beautiful flagpole you've got there.
Isn't it?
Take good care of it. May your life go well.
Thank you for your teaching.
Attention, Shuso. The question that Ananda asks, did you receive anything more?
I look inside and I ask that of myself also. Surely there's got to be more than this. And that question sometimes feels like aspiration, because I know there's something that I'm just not seeing, not that it is more. But sometimes it just feels like clinging and grasping and wishing that my flag was more beautiful or better. And I would like to know, how do I test myself to tell the difference between my aspiration and my clinging?
I think somewhere you know. You can't really fool yourself if you look deeply. Aspiration will speak to you. You'll know when you feel it. May your life go well.
Thank you for your answer.
Attention, Shuso. So, now that we're about to take down the flagpole, what are you going to do now?
I'm going to get a glass of water, I think. Yeah, it's pretty hot.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe I can help you.
Thank you. May your life go well.
Thank you for your teaching.
May your life go well. May your life go well. I have been reminded being immature and insufficient in training. I did not expect to be assigned as chief disciple. I feel that a crime has been committed that fills the heavens, and that there is nowhere on earth for me to hide. I feel like a mosquito trying to bite an iron bull. However, I hope there's enough water in the Esopus for you to rinse out my words from your ear. Water flows and returns to the sea.
Well done, Shuso. Well done.
Wandering, lost. He never had a clue where he was, but always knew where he was going. Happy to share another's load, he tromps untrod ways, leaping over rocks like a young goat, falling so many times, breaking his head, but never his heart. Nimbly dancing with words, he weaves wonderful delights and carries his companions into silence. All of us, grateful for his loving direction, we now follow his generous lead through dark canyons into the light of the moon. Congratulations, Shuso.
To Rakusan, dear Rakusan, it's something about love all the way. All the way. No port, no storm, no beginning, no end. Congratulations, brother.
For Rakusan, searching for how many moons, how many worn out sandals, finally you found your home. This mountain bear speaks few words, but his roar is deafening. Ah, what's all this commotion about after all? I can't wait to return to the buzz of a table saw and the scent of sawdust. Congratulations, Rakusan.
To Rakusan, be before your original face took form in this life, that which is never born and never dies bore the whisper monastic. The body your parents gave you, they named Robert. You, Robert, journeyed through the years of your life with the whisper of monastic flowing through your bone marrow and blood. The decades unfolded. Many joys and sorrows propelled you through the six realms of your existence. Encountering your 60th year, the whisper of monastic transformed into an urgency and imperative that took hold of your life. Robert became motion. Motion became Rakusan. Today, Rakusan, radiant and joyful, embodies that which you were born to be. Rakusan, the monk, arrives home. Well done, Shuso. Congratulations.
For Dharma brother Rakusan. Soft rumbling asopus, coursing through the early morning zendo, the gentle touch of the cool breeze arrives with a symphony of fresh birdsong. Breathing, being breathed by this joyfully relaxed, flaring mountain. Ah, congratulations, Shuso.
For Brother Rakusan Motion. After an unexpected storm, a wild man, part creature actually, found himself alone in the desert on a moonless night and pretended his fear and confusion belonged to someone else. Eventually, he realized the stars were singing to him and that the little animals scurrying across his toes were reminding him that life feels life. After much wandering, he saw the light of a fire, and as he drew closer, the forms of others gathered around it. He sat welcome among them, turned toward truth, a faithful heart lighting his way all along. Congratulations, Shuso.
For Rakusan, what say you, O bard, of the commonplace made sublime by care and closeness? A plank, the bridge's spine, 6 feet that span the length of the world, the hand indistinguishable from hammer and nail, the saw that cuts 8 pieces into one. What say you of your love of craft, of planing words to their truest sound, their barest skin, to catch the quickening moment? I saw you at dawn, O bard, when you opened your arms wide and your robe's folds swallowed up the silence. Still and more still, you later said, and the commonplace was made sublime, just like that. Congratulations, Shuso.
Dear Rakusan, in the low fog, a sail, and now the whole body appears, a sturdy vessel, holding age well, hewed planks held with tar, a burnished finish of eloquent simplicity. The shine of storms and rough passages highlight the knots and swirls of seasoned hardwood that's best for rough seas. In the safety of the harbor, the sails tatted along the edges are eager to windfill. Beings of all kind crowd above, crowd aboard, carrying the tears of life. Off she goes, holding with care the burdens of many, free to follow the wind to the other shore. On the starboard side, bitten into wood, a name carved, beautiful loser. After years of sailing, indeed, something has been lost. With love and congratulations, Shuso.
Baraka-san, from this blossom, more blossoms, and even more sweet and possible blossoms. This morning glory, splendid passion.
Baraka-san, he climbs a mountain lofty and steep, and each step is joyful and at ease. Who is it that can be this way? In calling, the whole earth comes. In answering, the entire sky is revealed. The mountain belongs to those who love him. This old traveler has such a love. Winter, spring, summer, and fall. Congratulations.
Thanks so much for listening. The monastery's quarterly journal, Mountain Record, has a new home at mountainrecord.org. For over 30 years, Mountain Record has been offering spiritual seekers of all faiths a unique journey through words and images. Each quarterly issue delivers a thought-provoking array of classic teachings, contemporary wisdom, stunning photographs, and news from the Mountains and Rivers Order. For more information, to subscribe, or to read our open-access articles, visit mountainrecord.org.